Psalm 112 is about the joy of the Christian life that can be found in obedience. And I want you to listen as I read this and think of that joyful Christian life that we live in expression of our faith in Jesus. Please listen as I read Psalm 112. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in His commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He is dispersed abroad. He is given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. As I said, Psalm 112 is about the joy of the Christian life that can be found in obedience. We believe that salvation is not by works. We are not saved by our obedience. But instead, we believe that our obedience is an expression of the faith that we have, or the new life that we have in Jesus. Psalm 112 is about this joyful, obedient Christian life. I'm going to draw your attention to several different aspects just by way of meditation today. Then I'm going to urge you to take this psalm and memorize it yourself and meditate on it yourself throughout this month. First of all, I want you to notice in verse 1 that the psalmist says that obedience becomes your desire and delight. He says he delights greatly in God's commandments. Did you know that there are certain branches of Christianity that say that if we're saved by grace, then it doesn't matter how you live? That type of teaching, though, doesn't make any sense with this statement of God. He delights greatly in God's commandments. The teaching that salvation is by grace does not mean that we do not obey or that our obedience doesn't matter. Instead, it makes that obedience take on a whole different character, a character of joyful delight in being like God and being with God, doing the things that He commands. You can also look behind that delight, and you can say that that delight only comes from a heart that is set free by Jesus. Obedience doesn't come naturally, and delight in obedience doesn't come naturally either. In fact, without grace, obedience becomes a heavy, burdensome taskmaster. But with God's grace, obedience takes on the very character of God Himself. It's full of love, appreciation, trust, blessing, and happiness. It's very different when a heart is renewed in Jesus Christ. And the psalm describes that. Second thing I want you to notice is the practice of obedience. The psalm intermingles the practice of obedience with the blessings that come from it. The practice of obedience here is especially oriented towards showing mercy towards those in need. And I want you to especially think about that in the midst of this psalm, of how your being transformed by Jesus Christ then changes you so that you're merciful towards those around you. Verse 5 says that the man of God is gracious, full of compassion, righteous, and he lends. Interesting that the psalmist calls attention to that. Verse 9 does as well. He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. Leads to a good question. Why does the psalmist mention mercy? Why does he call attention to lending? There's several reasons. One of them is because your life doesn't consist in the things that you have, and so you aren't ruled by them. Instead, you're ruled by Christ. It's because also you've come to understand the role of compassion that you've received yourself and then can be expressed towards those around you. It's an expression of your love of God and love of neighbor when you show compassion to those around you. And you know this because you yourself have received mercy in Jesus. So meditate on how the change that you have in Jesus Christ prompts you towards compassion and mercy. Thirdly, then, the blessings of God. The psalm actually lists many, and I'm just going to highlight three of them for us this morning. One of them is children. The psalm says that his descendants will be mighty on the earth, and the generation of the upright will be blessed. Hear that verse in the context of God's covenant dealings with his people. Think of the promise that he made to Abraham. I will be your God, a God to you and to your children after you. Think of the promise that is given to descendants in the Ten Commandments. He says that he would visit the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation, but show loving kindness to thousands. Think of what Peter said in his sermon at Pentecost. He talks about the promise of the gospel. This promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, to all whom God calls. The blessing of children is the blessing of God's covenant promise to be a God to us and to our children. Prosperity, secondly. That word will probably direct your attention to verse 3. Wealth and riches will be in his house. And you might be thinking, I knew it. There was a prosperity gospel here somewhere, right? Well, there is, if you understand it in the right way. The prosperity gospel today is directed towards just the prosperity and not towards God. In this context, though, the prosperity of physical things is coupled in verse 3 with spiritual things. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. That's a different type of prosperity, isn't it? The prosperity of everlasting righteousness and everlasting riches that makes the riches of this world take a certain place. A place that does not hold an eternal nature or a place of prominence. In fact, given the fact that obedience is especially geared towards helping others, the prosperity that God gives has a different purpose than just giving you comfort. God gives so that you might spread your riches abroad and freely give and lend. What a joy there is in being blessed by God so as to be a blessing to others in this way. And finally, peace. At several points, the psalm speaks about not being afraid. The children in the congregation might especially like this promise that you will not be afraid. But children, do you know that your parents can be afraid at times too? They can. The promise of peace is a very sweet blessing at any stage of life. And taken in the context of our eternal relationship with God, peace with Him is a is a promise that is very, very precious. The psalmist contrasts it with that of the wicked right at the very end. And the psalms often do this. There's a contrast between those that are righteous and those that are wicked. The wicked see and are grieved. They gnash their teeth and melt away. Their desire perishes. They have no peace with God or in this life. But instead, God grants eternal peace through His own love and through His Son, Jesus. Psalm 112 is about the joy of the Christian life that can be found in obedience. May you meditate on that and be blessed by it throughout this month. We'll sing Psalm 112 and we'll use the B selection. Psalm 112b. I invite you to please stand to praise God.